Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Professor, you're on WGN Radio. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here, John. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, that's my setup. What do you want to say, having heard what I just said?
This is an area of tremendous controversy. It makes most of us unsettled. But I would just refer our listeners to two websites. One is simply the National Cancer Institute, and then simply type in cell phones and cancer risk. And the other URL would be mayoclinic.org, and in the search function, simply put in cell phones. And I think one can see, as you mentioned, that the weight of evidence, the preponderance of studies, does not show any compelling relationship between cancer, especially brain tumors, and cell phone usages. However, I think we have to recognize that sometimes we may be exposed to an agent, and 50 years later, there may be an adverse effect. And I'm thinking in particular of asbestos exposure, that individuals exposed to that agent may be incubating a cancer for 50 years before it becomes evident. So I think we need to be prudent. We need to be inquisitive, but right now, no compelling or convincing evidence that our cell phones will cause cancer.
I have lots of questions for you, and our listeners do too. We'll take them as they come in. 312-981-7200. Brett, what's your question? You're on the air.
I'm so glad you brought this up again after yesterday, John, and listening to your podcast last night. I don't see any difference, really, in as you guys were debating yesterday on holding the phone up to your ear. I don't see a difference in the severity of holding the phone up to your ear, carrying it around in your pocket, or having a Bluetooth headset in. I think they're all probably varying degrees of bad, but I don't think that we're going to know the effect of this for years and years, akin to what you had just brought up with the fact of what the smoking and all of this other stuff that has come out after years and years of that study. So I would imagine on some level it's probably all bad, but I don't know what level that's going to be. We're probably 20 years out from knowing that, right?
Well, let's let him respond. Thank you, Brett. Doctor?
Oh, I think that's a very insightful comment, that I think at some level it's probably all bad. What that level is, we don't know, and whether we Bluetooth it, have it in our back pocket or within our ear canal, at some point there may be that definitive study. But right now, the preponderance of work from reputable investigators really does not compellingly show a direct relationship.
But do you realize how you've just now changed my attitude? Your first statements and mine made it sound like this is silly, we don't need to worry. And you just now affirmed his concern that down the road we may find out that it is cancer causing, and you just said it's all bad. It's just a measure of how much. So which is it?
I think it's exactly like being exposed to radiation for a chest X-ray or a CAT scan. I think there is a critical level that experts state is bad, but we don't really know what that threshold is. And I think we just have to be patient, stand the test of time. But as of this afternoon, I think the data simply are not there that we are at risk for a brain tumor from a cell phone.
Are you on a landline right now or a cell?
Yes. Landline, yes.
Do you make that decision on occasion? Do you worry about that yourself?
No. This is simply a matter of convenience, John. And I never choose one instrument over another based on the concern of getting a brain tumor.
You're not 15 years old, though. So imagine that you're, you know why I say that, because
oh, oh,
now,
yes.
Because imagine you have another 80 years of potential use of that device next to your skull, and the tissue is still evolving at 15. So I wonder if that's a different concern.
Absolutely. We don't know definitively the effect of the radio frequency particles on the developing brain. And it's an area that makes us all uneasy, because throughout medicine, many times we have been incorrect in our recommendations. Although realistically, the greatest health threat from the cell phone is distracted driving rather than the risk of a brain tumor.
Well, here's my understanding too, Doctor, that the way a microwave oven works is it doesn't get warm in there, but the food does, because it's radiated by those waves. That's what you are doing to your head, but it's such a low level that while the phone or maybe your ear might get warm, it's not enough to raise your body temperature. Is that all true, what I just said?
Yes, I think that's a superb analysis of an incredibly complex situation. And I have some uneasiness, because throughout history, experts have weighed in and have assured us that X, Y, or Z is safe and effective, when in fact we now know X, Y, and Z was not safe and not effective.
Here's some more texts. What if you carry your phone in your bra like some people do?
I'm smiling, and I don't think I'll weigh in on that one.
Well, I suppose the concern is brain cancer versus breast cancer, and you are probably going to tell me that there's no evidence to suggest it will increase your chance of breast cancer.
I think that's true, John. I think sometimes these urban myths go viral. They achieve a life of their own, but I think our listeners can be reassured that positioning a cell phone over the area of the breast, I cannot conceive that there is any reasonable risk of breast cancer from that intervention.
Well, then why? Here's another text, 773. Our daughter is a nurse at a prominent Chicago hospital.
Yes.
Pregnant nurses are advised not to store their work cell phones in their pockets while working, presumably because maybe the radiation off the phone will affect the fetus. I don't know what that's all about. Do you have any thoughts about that?
No. I guess I would challenge the author of that recommendation to share the data supporting that recommendation. Obviously, the developing fetus is profoundly sensitive to changes in the environment, but I would be curious to know the background of that recommendation.
I'm just looking at this long study from the, is this the CDC or NCI, Aleph? But it's one of those major organizations that we trust do research. And they just go over study after study, some of them involving, you know, several hundred thousand people over years to see if they are more likely to get cancer or not.
Yes.
And they don't. The World Health Organization classified cell phone use is possibly carcinogenic to humans. This would be an outlier. I'm just going to read you this sentence. A component of the World Health Organization classified cell phone use as possibly carcinogenic to humans. The findings could not be dismissed as reflecting bias alone, and
that
causal interpretation could not be excluded. That was in answer to the question, what have the expert organizations said about the cancer risk? But in the meantime, the CDC, the FDA, the FCC, none of them, European studies, none of them could find a causal relationship. I wonder about this WHO study and why they're saying that.
And again, John, I think any of us can hone in on one particular body of work, but the weight of evidence, the drift of these studies, do not show causality. And another issue would be many of us have scans for problems that would never have been scanned a generation ago. Our grandparents, if they had a headache, they were advised to take some aspirin and take a nap. Today, in a major metropolitan area, we might wind up with an MRI scan. So earlier diagnosis and technology may be a factor in distorting these numbers.
Do we see more brain cancer these days? Perhaps for that reason, but is there a higher incidence reported of brain cancer?
The answer would be no, John.
Really?
Now, these cancers are relatively infrequent, and anyone with a cancer called a glioma,
right,
or an acoustic neuroma undoubtedly would be referred to a tertiary center, much as you are blessed to have in Chicago or the Mayo Clinic. And there are analyses by the American Cancer Society showing cancer trends. And there really has been no blip showing an explosive occurrence of these very rare cancers.
You would be hard-pressed to convince some people of that, by the way. It's 151 on WGN. Not doubting your word, I'm just telling you, some people anecdotally have heard in their neighborhood or in their social circle, more people seem to get cancer and brain cancer, and they think they know why. That's why we called Dr. Ed Cragin. He's at the Mayo. He's an oncology professor there. I'm going to pause. We'll get more of your texts and calls in. You can join us now, 312-981-7200. I'll repeat those websites our guest said you could go to for more information. We're not going to get to all of the calls and texts, but we will get to a lot of them in 60 seconds. There's lots of ways to be a good friend. You could watch someone's pet. You could drive them to the airport. You could help them move. You could help them move a body. Here's another thing you can do for a friend. The one that's got knee pain, tell them about the Joint Relief Institute. Have you done this yet? It's in Orland Park in Oakbrook. And people literally come from miles around for pain relief. Digital imaging shows the doctors and technicians where the tissue's compromised, and they put that joint lubricant into the affected spot, and I'm telling you, it works. It's fast, pain-free, non-surgical. And by the way, they've got an insurance expert to make sure you get maximum coverage. The number to call is easy to remember, 708-888-0000. Tell your friends what a good person you are. Now you don't have to pick them up at the airport. You told them about the Joint Relief Institute. Remember, the website is jointreliefinstitute.com or call 708-888-0000, as in zero pain. We're visiting with a professor of oncology at the Mayo Clinic. His name is Dr. Edward Cragin. He's an oncology guy at Mayo, and he's done some study, too, on the possibility that cell phones will give you cancer. That story in the Tribune's got us wondering about it, since some of your iPhones are putting out more energy than they're supposed to. Doctor, can I read some more texts for you?
Yes, yes, please.
What about overhead power lines that run within 3 feet of the home?
Wow. I know many of our agricultural colleagues, particularly farmers, have been concerned that the milk production in dairy cows has been compromised by these towers. I must confess ignorance, but I think there is some concern about the legitimacy of those high power wires, which again is very different than what we're talking about with the cell phone.
Understood. Fair enough. 708 said, kids don't hold their cell phones to their ears anymore, John. No one makes calls. And 773 said, my friend was a scientist whose research involved him wearing a cell phone all day. He died of brain cancer. When you hear stories like that, texts like that, what's your reaction, doctor?
There's a sense of sadness. There's a sense of compassion. There's a sense of loss for that patient and his family. But we do not have compelling data that there is a causal relationship between that person's cell phone usage and developing a fatal neoplasm. It's tempting to make that link, but that causal link simply has not been proven based upon credible data from responsible investigators.
My last question.
I might add that Mr. Rowe and his team have done an incredible job dissecting a voluminous amount of conflicting data to make a very convincing argument.
Convincing argument that there is no conclusive evidence.
Yes, and that the appropriate agencies, the FCC, are very much aware of Mr. Rowe's work and are seemingly taking it to the next level. This is not simply being dismissed.
John, please ask your guest if wireless Bluetooth earbuds like Apple EarPods pose a cancer risk, because my kids have them in more often than not. And that's the buds always talking to the phone. So what about that, doctor?
I honestly don't know, John. I suspect that there is no protection from the earbuds. I suspect that the jury is still out. and we may be on the air for the next 30 or 40 years and still not have a definitive analysis of the risk, which right now appears to be negligible.
So that's the takeaway, isn't it? You are not yes or no. All you're saying is the current evidence is there's nothing there, but it's early in the game. So parents, I'm going to answer the question for you, but you answer it too. You be your own judge. If you're uncomfortable with it, you're the boss of your kids. Tell them to take the buds out or limit their cell phone use. What do you say, doctor?
I agree. I think I would tell Susie or Jimmy as an adolescent that we do not think you're at risk for brain cancer, but we do think you are at risk for behaviors which are sometimes not really creative with these devices.
Sure, that's parenting, but they go, yeah, but what about cancer, Mom? And I think you can still say, correct, doctor? I don't know, and nobody may know yet, so we're going to be defensive and say limit your use.
Yeah, we're going to say, I love you, I'm concerned, and just be mindful and watchful of the indiscriminate use of the cell phone.
Dr. Edward Cragen is a professor of oncology at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. Nice to talk to you, doctor. We sure appreciate your time today.
Thank you. This has been wonderful. Very grateful.